Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. That is just outside of Boone, North Carolina. And while we're at it, we will extend an invitation for you to come and visit with us at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. If you are visiting in the area, or maybe you do not have a church home, we'd love for you to come by Sunday morning, Wednesday night, any other time. We're having services. We've got revival services coming up in the middle of October, beginning October the 12th through the 17th. On the 12th, the Sunday night, we'll start at 6, and then Monday through Friday, we'll start at 7. Brother Dennis Eller from Chilhowie, Virginia, is going to be with us. We're looking forward to that. We'd love for you to come, be in the revival services. And then while we're making an announcement concerning revival, I'll go ahead and mention that October the 5th through the 8th, I will be in revival at the Beulah Baptist Church in Meadowview, Virginia. That is just outside of Damascus. It's across from the Ray Valley Elementary School, and Pastor Dwayne Dillard is the pastor there. And like I said, October the 5th through the 8th, that is a Sunday night through a Wednesday night, and services start every night that week at 7 p.m. So we've got a busy fall planned, a lot of things going on. But anyway, we're thankful to be here today, and it's good to be in the radio studio. Good to have Noah here today. Noah, how are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. A little chilly, but it's still a good day. And we do want to say welcome to all our listeners, those listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA, those who are listening in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and those listening in on 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate our listeners and appreciate Noah and all the help he gives on the radio broadcast. We were working last night on it till probably about 8 o'clock or somewhere around in there, spent a couple of hours, and so he does a lot to help me out, and I really appreciate that. We are studying a subject I am really enjoying. We're calling it Heroes of Liberty. Now, before the broadcast started today, Noah and I, we've got a little game going on. I told him to give me a thumbs up when he figured out who I was going to be talking about today. So as you listen in, I'm not going to tell you right off the bat who I'm talking about, but today's hero reminds me of a verse of scripture in the Bible. It's from the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. It says, "And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do." Wouldn't it be good today if we had some leadership that had understanding of the times to know what America ought to do? I was listening to the news earlier today, and today's headlines, and boy, I tell you, it just seems like we're living in a world where people, leadership, just doesn't know what to do. And whatever they do, there'll be at least 50% of the people that'll say that's the wrong thing to do. And the Bible talks about in the last days will be perilous times, and even the nations will be confused and confounded and not know what to do. Well, we need some men of understanding, women, leadership, that has understanding of the times to know what we ought to do. Instead, we have, like the Bible talks about in Proverbs 25, verse 19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. If you've ever had a broken tooth or a sprained foot, you know how painful that is. There's no relief until it gets better. Well, today's hero is personally one of my favorite men from the American Revolution time period. His biographer, whose name was William Wirt, said concerning him, light and heat were seen and felt throughout the continent, and he was everywhere regarded as the great champion of colonial liberty. The spirit of resistance became bolder and bolder until the whole continent was in flame. Now, the gentleman I'm referring to today, we're going to be looking at, he was not a preacher, he was not a politician, but he did more than his share of both. He was a very dedicated Christian. In fact, his most famous speech, which is probably about 2.5 pages, single-spaced, you know, if you found it online, printed it out, you would find that it's actually, you can just read it in a few minutes. But anyway, and I have done that before, read it out loud and recorded it just to see how long it took. Well, the speech itself has about 65, I went through and counted them one time, 65 Bible words, phrases, and distinct phrases taken from the scriptures in this political speech. In fact, I was just looking down through the speech. I have a copy of it in front of me, and he refers to that. He says this: "Are we disposed to be of the number of those who, having eyes, see not, and having ears, hear not?" Well, that's, if you are a Bible reader, that's taken from the pages of the scripture. Having eyes, see not, and having ears, hear not. He was a dedicated Christian. He served his state in many different political capacities. He served in the Virginia House of Burgess. He served in the Continental Congress. After the American Revolutionary War, he was elected to be governor of Virginia 5 different times. His career spanned over 30 years, but by trade, he was a lawyer, and many times he used his abilities to defend Baptist preachers. Now, I have referred to this many, many times before, but I'm afraid many people in America do not realize the extent of religious persecution that was existing during the time, before the time of the American Revolution, up to the time of the Bill of Rights. And the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Well, why is that in there? Why is that important? Because before then, in America, religious persecution was normal. It happened in almost every state or every colony in the original 13 colonies, Rhode Island being the exception. But in Virginia, right before the American Revolution, Baptist preachers were especially targeted, and they were imprisoned, they were fined, their land was confiscated, they were whipped, and even instances of being put to death early on for their religious conviction that they did not, that they were not responsible to the state to get a license to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's much information about the Baptist preachers in Virginia and them being put in prison. Well, our hero, many times, he used his own resources. What do they call it now? Pro bono. He served without being paid. He went and he defended them concerning their religious convictions. And he himself was not a Baptist. He's referred to, some people have called him a Baptist, but he was not a Baptist. He was a Presbyterian. Sometimes he's referred to as a Quaker. And his family had both in them, Presbyterian and Quaker, as far as their religion or their denomination is concerned. Lord Dunmore, who was the royal governor at the time, our hero was a thorn in his flesh. And Lord Dunmore said about him, he said, "A Quaker in religion, but the very devil in politics." And so, you know what the Bible says, if every man speaks well of you. Well, his enemies certainly did not speak well of him. Well, his most famous line is simply this: "Give me liberty or give me death." And of course, if you know anything about American history, you know I'm referring to Mr. Patrick Henry. That's who we're looking at today. Patrick Henry, who gave the famous speech. It wasn't just a phrase. Now, you see it on T-shirts and things, see it on bumper stickers, even today. But it was a speech that he gave, give me liberty or give me death. And we'll talk about that as our time goes on today. But we're talking about Patrick Henry. Now, Patrick Henry, he was born May the 29th, 1736, in Hanover County, Virginia. You have to realize that during this time period, those who lived in America were British subjects. They were British citizens. They were not. They were sometimes called Americans, but they were British subjects. They were raised to be loyal to the king, and that's how Patrick Henry was raised. And all of the colonists, when he was born, there was no talk of revolution. There was no talk of separation, but all these things came to a head during Patrick Henry's lifetime. As we said, he was born in 1736 in Hanover County, Virginia. And something else that endears me to the life of Patrick Henry is this. He was schooled at home. He did not go to, of course, there's no such thing as public school as we know it now, but he was not sent off to school. He's not the product of a college or a university. He was schooled at home. Well, a lot of people say, well, were his parents, were they educated enough to be able to school Patrick Henry at home? His father, John Henry, took it upon himself to school him, to teach him, and he taught him to read Latin. And so I think anybody that can teach somebody else at a young age to read Latin, they would certainly be qualified to teach somebody. And so his father, John Henry, taught him to read Latin. He was also tutored by a well-known Presbyterian minister at that time. Patrick Henry studied law on his own, took it upon himself and studied law. It wasn't like it is now. You didn't even have to go to school. You just had to pass the attorney's exam. You had to go before the bar, and they would question you and ask you questions about being a lawyer. And he passed his attorney's exam in 1760. Now, history.org, I was reading, it's a website, history.org, and I was reading about Patrick Henry, just some basic facts about him. I've got all kinds of books and references to Patrick Henry, but I found a very interesting bit of information concerning Patrick Henry on that website. And it said, from 1765 forward, Mr. Henry was a leader in every protest against British tyranny and in every movement for colonial rights. So it's no wonder that his biographer referred to him, as I read earlier, as the champion of colonial liberty. He was involved in every protest against British tyranny and in every movement for colonial rights. So Patrick Henry, very well known in the year 1765 and forward. Now realize he's only been a lawyer for 5 years. He's only 29 years old. Don't think that you have to be old. And I think sometimes a lot of people think, you know, you got to be way up in your 50s or 60s to have an impact. But here's Patrick Henry, 29 years old, making a difference in the world in which he lived. Now, there are two speeches. There's a lot of speeches by Patrick Henry, and we certainly do not have time to go over very much, actually, of his life or the impact that he had. But there are mainly two speeches that we refer to when talking about Patrick Henry, or I'll say it like this, that he's most famous for. Both these speeches, at the time they were given, were considered to be treason against the king, against the crown. Now, that is a charge that could bring the death penalty. And so the first one was in 1765, and it concerned the Stamp Act, which violated the citizens' right against taxation without representation. That is one of the things that the colonists really rebelled against, was that their own elected representatives had the power to tax them, but King George taxed them from England, from Britain. And it was a taxation which did not affect all of the citizens of Britain, but was directed mainly or specifically to the colonists. And it was called the Stamp Act. And what it was any time they had any official records, if you bought a piece of property and you went to get the deed, if you got married, anything that took an official document, you had to purchase a stamp from the crown in order to put on that and make it official. And so the colonists, they really rebelled against that as being taxation without representation. And furthermore, what chafed them is that the Stamp Act was to pay for the 7,500 British soldiers that were stationed in the colonies in order to keep the peace and to as they said, protect the colonists from the French and the Indians. You've heard of the French-Indian War. So that was King George and Parliament. That was their idea. Hey, this is how we'll pay for those soldiers. This is how we'll pay for them being over there in America. And you know, they're there and they're protecting and everything. But the colonists didn't see that they needed that type of protection. And they also seen a danger in that occupation that could be turned against them. Now, today in America, think about this. And this is one thing about studying history. It'll get you to thinking. Today, there is a... It's more than a discussion. It's gone beyond that. There's a great concern, I'll put it that way, about concerning our police forces throughout the land, sheriffs, law enforcement, being militarized. And when you take a police force and you make it to look like a military, and we've seen that, many examples of that. In fact, the federal government is paying many times the law enforcement agencies to buy this military equipment. And so there's a concern about that. Well, there was a concern then. There's a concern now. This could be turned against law-abiding citizens if the wrong people got in power. This could be used against us. So they were concerned. And they rejected the Stamp Act. Well, Patrick Henry, he gave a speech in May of 1765. So if you compare everything to 1776, sort of take that as the date that everybody knows. This is 11 years before that, and they're protesting the economic pressure that is being put upon the colonists. Now, this was delivered at the Virginia House of Burgess, and Mr. Wirt, Patrick Henry's biographer, he described it like this. He said, he exclaimed in a voice of thunder and with the look of a god, little g. Here's what Patrick Henry said. Caesar had his Brutus, Charles I his Cromwell, and George III. Now, when he cried out George III, the cry came from the chamber. Treason, cried the speaker. Treason, treason, echoed from every part of the house. Henry faltered not for an instant, but rising to a loftier attitude and fixing on the speaker an eye of the most determined fire, he finished his sentence with the firmest emphasis, and George III may profit by their example. If this be treason, make the most of it. And that's one of the most famous quotations by Patrick Henry. If this be treason, make the most of it. You know, in our day of smooth speeches and political correctness, you've got to admire anybody that has the political courage to just say what needs to be said. And Patrick Henry had that gift. He had that wisdom and understanding of the times to say what needed to be said at the proper time. Now, historians, they argue whether that's the way it really was or not. You know, his biographer writes, and, you know, I can imagine that in my mind. Boy, I'd have liked to have been there. I'd have liked to have seen that. And some say it wasn't that dramatic, and others say that he even backed up a little bit. But what you cannot deny is the result that, or the result from the effects of Patrick Henry's speech and the motion which he made at that meeting, which resulted in the eventual repeal of the Stamp Act. People begin to see it for what it was, and they begin to hate it, and they begin to stop buying British goods. So the British, they had no other option but to repeal the Stamp Act. Somebody had courage, and it made a difference. Boy, how we need that in our day and time, for somebody to have courage and to make a difference. So that's one of the speeches which, when we think about Patrick Henry, we think about that phrase, if this be treason, make the most of it. Well, let's go forward 10 years after that, March 23rd, 1775, and we come to the famous speech, which is just entitled, I don't believe Patrick Henry at that time gave it a title. He just simply stood to speak. And what is remembered most from that speech is, give me liberty or give me death. But you go forward 10 years in the colonies. The problems in the colonies were not better, but they were actually worse. Now, it's gone back and forth and back and forth. And if you know anything about the history of that time period, they didn't just go through the streets saying, let's have a war with Great Britain. They spent years trying to get the king and Parliament to see their point of view, and they just really wanted to be treated like any other British citizen. And if you study the document, the Declaration of Independence, you'll see that that was their beef that they had with the crown, that they weren't even afforded what their fellow countrymen in England were afforded. And there's several examples, taxation without representation and trial by jury. And you read the Declaration of Independence, there's 28 reasons why they gave that they were going to declare their independence from King George the Tyrant. But the problems in the colonies were not getting better. They were getting worse. And they had gone from just an economic protest to a talk of war and defending themselves. And I want to say before I go on, and I know my time will quickly get gone today, but one of the ways that governments wage war against their own people is economically. Economically, governments have the power to wear their people down and wear them out with taxation and fines and piling it on more and more and more to get the people to a place where they are so economically stressed out that they cannot even defend themselves. Instead of using their resources to defend themselves or promote their cause, they're having to spend every dime they have to pay property taxes and taxes on goods, and buy gas to put in their cars and milk and bread to put on their table. Does that sound familiar with it? I believe if we study history, we can see a pattern. This is one of the methods that governments use to suppress and eventually tyrannize the people, is economic oppression. And they basically steal the money from the people and put it under the title of taxation, IRS, whatever you want to look at it, if we really just look at the way things are. Well, you study history, you learn some important lessons. Now, the Second Virginia Convention met in the Henrico Parish Church, which is later named St. John's Church. So if you study this out, You'll say, well, which church was it? It was originally the Henrico Parish Church, but they later named it St. John's. But Henry, Patrick Henry, had made a motion to immediately put the colony in a state of defense. Now, they had to meet in Henrico County. They couldn't meet in Richmond because they were afraid that Lord Dunmore would break up the proceedings. So they had to go out of the county. And there was no building big enough for the delegates, the participants, to meet together. So they met in this church. And from what I've studied about the size of that church building, there couldn't have been more than about 100 people there that heard this speech by Patrick Henry. So Patrick Henry made the motion to put the colony of Virginia in a state of defense. There was already British troops in Boston, and they had been sent over. So the drums of war were beating. What are they going to do? Patrick Henry says, we need to raise a militia. We need to put Virginia in a state of defense. We're going to be attacked. That's what he was saying. Others argued against that, and they said, well, if we raise a militia, if we put ourselves in a posture that we're going to militarily defend ourselves, it will hinder any attempt at resolution. They kept crying out, you know, we need to try to absolve this. We need to try to go around and not look at this militarily. And it is at that point that Patrick Henry rose to speak. Now, I do not have time to read the whole speech. I'm just going to read the last paragraph. He said this, gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. Now, I want to say there, that's a quotation from the book of Thessalonians. I believe it's 2 Thessalonians. But anyway, peace, peace, when there is no peace. He said the war has actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? That is also a quotation from the Bible, by the way. He said, what is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. And so that's the famous speech, give me liberty or give me death. And I was thinking about this yesterday as I was studying about what I was going to teach on today. Is liberty really that important to die for? I mean, I've got a T-shirt that says, give me liberty or give me death. That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? Is liberty that important? And I believe the answer to that is yes, liberty is that important. If we lose our liberty, we have lost everything. And what we have in place of that is literally chains and slavery. Jesus Christ came to set men free, to set the captives free. Luke chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Jesus said in John 15 and 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Liberty is precious. Liberty is sweet. It's worth keeping. It's worth dying for. Well, one more thing about Patrick Henry. He was a strong believer in citizens' rights to keep and to bear arms. After Henry made that proposition, it passed. And Lord Dunmore seized the gunpowder from the Town magazine. Patrick Henry raised a militia and got the gunpowder back. I appreciate people that'll put their money where their mouth is. And that's exactly what the kind of person that Patrick Henry was. He truly was a hero of liberty. Well, our time is quickly come and gone today. We do appreciate you tuning in. We hope you get a blessing out of the radio broadcast. Noah's going to come give the contact information. You have a great day, and God bless you.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-1000. 8-4-5-9-6. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.